doing the Hendrix cover of this as well.
You know, you bait me with all this good guitar music, and then you make fun when I play air guitar in here.
I make fun in general.
Well, that's true.
Opportunity on pretty much everything. So
now that you mention it,
yeah,
yeah.
You know.
I just happen to be playing air guitar, so that's what you made fun of.
You know, if we put on, say, Scotland the Brave, you'd be doing air bagpipes, and I'd be doing the same thing, very likely. So, you know.
I can play air bagpipes.
Yeah.
I'm quite good at it.
Of course, they're nowhere near as musical as an air guitar, but, you know.
Depends.
Depends on if you like bagpipes or not. Personally, I tend to think that they're...
torture?
Pretty much, yeah.
They're covered under the Geneva Convention, I'm certain. I'm certain we played bagpipe music for the prisoners down in Guantanamo.
Oh, yeah, Gitmo, yeah. Bagpipes and Britney Spears,
yeah,
which are just about as annoying as
that's
one
enough to make you stick ice picks in your ears.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, this particular program you're listening to is Lawrence and Taylor, and it stands to reason there's probably a Lawrence and a Taylor around here somewhere. Oh, there's a Taylor.
Oh, yeah. And there's a Lawrence.
Hey, there we go. Okay.
We've got a quorum.
Hey, how about that? So we're all here, unlike yesterday.
Yes.
But, and I think, did anybody miss you? I'm trying to think. One caller, I think.
Really?
One caller.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My fan club.
Yeah. He wanted to tell you you were wrong. So, you know.
How can I be wrong? I wasn't here.
Oh, wow.
And I'm lighter today.
Yeah, by about, an ounce and a half?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a tooth pulled yesterday.
There you go.
That's how you lose weight at my age. You lose a body part.
You know, I was just thinking it would have been fun to have you in here to argue with, because every time I brought something up, you'd be going,
yeah. So I do that anyway, Jeremy.
Might have been, yeah, you do, actually. I've noticed.
Yeah.
So lots of stuff we're talking about. Of course, one thing to bring up, something that we're doing on a regular basis, because the powers that be around here seem to think that we would make good bloggers.
Huh. I don't know why we don't make good radio hosts.
Apparently not. But they decided, you know what? You guys need a blog. Okay. All right. So what we've decided to do with it for the time being, we might put other things down there down the line. But we have started off by providing you with a video of the day, because there's a ton of them out there. And all of them are good, or at least laugh-worthy, or maybe even cringe-worthy in some cases.
Yes.
But
the one today is laugh-worthy.
Yes, it is. And believe it or not, it has an actual purpose, unlike some of the other viral videos that
right.
are out there. This particular video will teach you about safety on a plane. And it's brought to you by Delta Airlines. But.
So when you're stranded someplace
yeah.
and the plane won't take off and it's running without a schedule,
mm-hmm.
but you'll be very entertained with the safety instructions.
You'll be laughing at least the first couple of times you see this.
Yeah.
But they give you the safety instructions, you know, the whole this is where the exits are and this is how you put a seatbelt on. And, oh, by the way. Your seat cushion is a flotation device. You've got the mask. I mean, they go through everything.
Yeah.
And I mean everything. But when they go through everything, you're also going to see everything that you ever saw if you lived through the 80s. The hairstyles, the fashion styles.
And the dancing.
Dance moves. Certain characters from certain unnamed television shows are on there. I thought the hairstyles were really fun, actually.
Was there any moonwalking?
Someone did the reverse worm.
Oh, actually. Okay. Well,
so
that counts.
That's even better than moonwalking,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
You know, and when you do that down the aisle on a plane,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's even better.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's worth watching.
It's a little over 5 minutes, but well worth it. And if you stick around to the end, you get to see a reference to one of my favorite movies at the end.
Okay.
So you'll want to watch that.
Okay. I'm going to go back and play it right to the end.
There you go.
I'll find out.
So that, it would be fun to go through there and count all the 80s references because they're in there, all sorts of things. I mean, it's just end to end to end. And the whole time, and I love this about, you know, good comedy. It's got something serious happening in the foreground, which is the whole this is how you put a seatbelt on. But in the background, all sorts of funny things are happening. All sorts of funny stuff, things you'll sit there and go, oh, cool. even mullets.
Mm.
And they look cool in this. But that's because the rest of the 80s is surrounding them, I guess. So
I don't think they looked cool even then.
Hey, they were pretty cool back then, you know.
You had one?
All business in the front, party in the back, you know. I couldn't have
that's
one.
That's your hairstyle now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much all rounded on top, and that's about it. So
I've got the full Friar Tuck thing going here on my head.
Yeah, I've got the full shaved head. I really can't come up with a name for it. It's just it's done. So some of it ain't coming back either. But speaking of not coming back, State of the Union. For
yes.
People that watch that, it's not coming back till next year. So you can relax a little bit. We don't have to sit through that hour and a half of endless applause for 6-word lines, you know.
Did you find it interesting that the Republican Party couldn't agree on one responder? That they had three different voices, and there were some things in common, but there were some fairly dramatic differences.
And I will admit, I read the Republican response. I didn't necessarily read, I think it was Mike Lee's Tea Party response or the
Rand Paul,
I want to run for president response, which is what his was all about. He's just, I want to look presidential.
Yeah.
You know, that was basically his goal. He probably achieved it if anybody paid attention. So
At least they were all looking at the camera.
I guess. And not stopping in the middle and going, I'm thirsty.
Yes.
Which, I have to admit, when Marco Rubio did that, I felt for him because, I mean, just a few minutes ago, I got up and went and got my water that I forgot to bring to the studio. So Marco, I'm with you.
But
he
should have owned the moment.
Oh, yeah.
He just should have said, wow, I got to get a drink of water. Hold on a second. And he should have come back with the bottle of water and then drank it in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
But the trying to not lose eye contact as he left the screen and then trying to, he drew attention to what if he had just said, I'm dying of thirst here, folks, grabbed a bottle of water and took a sip, nobody would have thought anything of
it. Well, I think it depends on who you were watching and that kind of thing. There would have been some in the media that said, how dare he stop in the middle of the speech to get a drink? But I'm with you. I think, you know what, be real. Just say, you know what, I'm thirsty. Give me a minute.
Yeah.
Grab the water, take a drink. All right, where were we?
Set it on the podium.
Yeah, you know. And, of course, I think it was Poland Springs or whoever it was that he was drinking their water. They would have gotten their 15 minutes of fame right there.
And they would have sent him cases of water.
We're the official water of Marco Rubio. You know.
Ooh, there's a plug.
Hey, that would be probably a pretty big plug if he decides to run for president here in another year or two. But
did you find it interesting that they're really, other than the trying to get the minimum wage to where it ought to be, there was really no legislation that the president proposed. He wants to, he's trying to do things by executive order.
And which, you know, bothers me. We've talked about that before, but
why does that bother you?
Well, because as I've said before, I think when you get into a situation and you do the executive order thing, if it's on something that Congress has looked at and you're just trying to carry it out, that's one thing. To be able to say, well, I think we ought to do this, this, and this. So executive order, it's just not in the Constitution. It's not there to be able to. And that's the thing. Eric Holder can't even point in the Constitution and say, well, this is where Obama gets the authority for that. He can't do that.
But, you know, you brought this up the other day, and so I did a little research. And Ronald Reagan issued 213 executive orders. George Bush the first, 166. George Bush the second, 173. And Obama has only issued 147. George Bush the first, in only a 4-year term, did 166 executive orders.
Well,
that's
and
his son did only six more than that in 8 years as president, and all of them did more executive orders than Obama.
Well, quantity is one thing, but what kind of executive orders did they do? Was it this stuff saying, well, we want to recognize the National Day of Prayer, or we want to, you know, executive order recognizing National Tulip Day or whatever? You know, that sort of thing is one thing. It's quite another thing to say, you know what? I'm going to pull something out of the blue that Congress hasn't even looked at and decide it's going to be the way we do things. That, to me, really bothers me, and it bothers me no matter what president would do that. You've seen a lot of that out of Obama.
But the Republican presidents since Reagan have issued so many more of these executive orders. Where was the uproar over these unconstitutional executive orders when Bush, both Bushes and Reagan, were doing hundreds of the same thing? It's a problem.
To which I say again, what did the executive orders have in them? Do you have that in front of you? Have you done that as part of your research?
Do you have...
No, you're the one that brought the numbers. You brought the numbers, so I'm saying, what kind of executive orders did they make? I didn't say that all executive orders ought to be banned. I'm just saying, you know what?
You weren't making a distinction a minute ago.
I made a distinction. Well, then you weren't listening.
He's doing too many executive orders. And you know how I feel about executive orders.
And then I said to you, when you asked, I said, okay, the kind of executive orders where Congress has looked at it and he's trying to carry something out as part of what is law, that's one thing. It's quite another to say, you know what? This is just the way it's going to be. And I know Congress didn't look at it, but tough. Here it is.
So you tell me. You tell me what are some of Obama's executive orders that you think are so far out of line?
I think when he – and we've talked about this before – and you asked me this before, and I'll answer it the very same way, which was when he decided that, you know what, we need to enact the things that were in the DREAM Act, didn't make it through Congress, but we're going to do it anyway by executive order. I didn't like it from the standpoint that he was enacting it. When it comes down to it, there are things in the DREAM Act you need to look at, and you need to say, all right, well, we need to come to some agreement on this. But it goes through Congress. It does not go through the president.
So he doesn't have the ability
act that way without Congress on something that has not been
that
enacted.
You don't agree with.
No, that's not what I said. I said it has not been enacted. I just said to you just a second ago, there are things in the DREAM Act we need to look at that Congress needs to take a peek at and say, you know what, we need to come to an agreement on.
But Congress won't do it.
So then he can't do it at that point. He can't sit there and say, you know what? Well, they're not going to do it, so you know what? I will. Here we go. Now it's law. That's called a king.
No,
that's called a president.
But he's doing less of it than your guys did.
Now you're pointing out, saying my guys. Again, I ask you, what kind of executive orders did they do? You can't answer that question because you don't know. I'm pointing out specific examples of what Obama has done that he should not have done. And that's the kind of thing you don't want to keep seeing.
So do you think it's within his right to raise the minimum wage for federal contractors?
Well, when it comes to that, if it's something that's already been enacted, certainly. But here's the thing. He's talking about for future contracts. The budget has been passed before he did this. To me, I kind of think, no, you need to go to Congress for this one because that gives some new things that they didn't have in the budget. So, they didn't have worked out, and now you're saying, no, we're going to do it this way, even though you said to do it that way.
So Congress, the most do-nothing Congress in the nation's history, you're complaining that they're not as an effective roadblock to doing things as you'd like because the president is finding ways around their inactivity.
Unconstitutional ways around it. That's what's happening. Unconstitutional
has
ways.
Has it been taken to court? That's what we have. There is a third branch to government, Jeremy.
Okay, now don't go into this lecture again. It's condescending, and it's beneath you to do that. Don't do that.
It isn't beneath me. That's what we have courts for. If he's doing unconstitutional things, then that's what the court system is for.
Certainly.
And the courts can undo any of these executive orders if they find them unconstitutional.
So let's take it up, certainly.
Well, then
let's take it up, by all means.
Where are the conservatives when it comes to taking the president to court on these offensive executive orders? Is it taking place? Give me an example of where the folks on the right side of the political spectrum have taken the president to court for unconstitutional executive orders that are illegal and gotten injunctive relief for that. Has it happened?
Okay, you're going through and saying, have we gone through the process and has it been completed?
Has even one of Obama's executive orders been overruled by a federal court?
Well, as you say,
has even one? Tell me, Jeremy.
As you say, first of all, this is one of those things, too, where Congress could stand up and say, you know what? You're overstepping your bounds here. They're not willing to do that.
I want a court to do that.
Okay, let me finish.
You keep
talking
about Congress.
Stop talking over me. I want to talk. You keep talking over me. Let me talk. Okay? You ask me a question, and then you don't let me answer the question. Let me answer the question. Will you do that? Will you do that? Thank you. When it comes to court challenges, they have been out there. I have seen them. They don't make media attention a great deal. That's why you don't see them on CBS, NBC, ABC, etc. But they are out there.
Has any one of his executive orders been overruled by a court? You say they're unconstitutional.
I say they're
unconstitutional. Please give me one example.
They're being challenged. They haven't made it that way yet, but his presidency is still ongoing.
Okay.
These things take time. You know
so
that.
So when a federal judge says he's wrong, not just Jeremy's opinion, but when a federal judge says the president acted in an unconstitutional manner and this executive order is null and void, will you come back to me and tell me when and if that ever happens?
Certainly.
Okay.
Absolutely. And it's not just my opinion. It's the opinion of a lot of other people as well.
We're going to continue on with our discussion.
Well, there's an awful lot of people that are upset about the whole idea of executive orders, and it has nothing to do with party.
Why did the Republicans do so many of them, Jeremy?
Here you go again talking over me. We're going to a break. And the program continues ahead. Of course, as always, if you would like to be a part of the program, feel free to give us a buzz. I just about gave the wrong phone number. I was going 832 and it's 382. What's wrong with me?
Yes.
Maybe I should let Roger give the phone number.
was that an old station or just a slip of the tongue?
No, it was just transposing numbers there.
I have never heard you come close to saying your other radio station.
I have not.
And I'm impressed with that. I had a hard time when we made a change. I'm a creature of habit.
I've been on quite a few of them, so you kind of sit there and go, okay,
develop
right,
some
you gotta,
skills.
You got to say, all right, wait a minute. You know, don't say this. But I have, at other stations, been close.
Oh.
To be able to say, right here on...
I don't even have any idea what your previous station was. I haven't heard you say it even once.
Well, that was
intentionally
the past.
Unintentionally.
That was the past. This is now. So
there you go.
My station is WKZO. That's what it's all about. So anyway, phone numbers, 382-4280. Go ahead with the toll-free since you were about to jump in.
877-382-4280.
There you go. Okay. We've been talking State of the Union and just about whatever else comes to our heads, so you can feel free to join us on that.
And we got off into arguing a little.
Have we ever done that?
No.
No way.
That doesn't happen.
No way. So, you know, I did find one thing interesting. And you talk about leadership from the president. He talks about the idea that a woman deserves equal pay for equal work. And he brought that up in the speech. The other interesting thing, though, is if you look in the White House to see what women are making there, it's 87 cents on the dollar at the White House itself. And I kind of think to myself, all right, if you're going to bring that up, maybe it's time for the president to say, you know what? And we're not doing enough for the women at the White House. So starting today, we're going to make a change.
But wouldn't that be an executive order?
It's running the executive branch. There's a difference there. Yeah, the money's been allocated.
It would be an executive.
The money
order.
Has been allocated for the executive branch by Congress, by
but
the way.
He's so spending it in a different way.
The money was allocated for the executive branch, like I said. Anyway.
What's your source for this, by the way?
But the I have to find the article here. I do have it. I'm just looking down here to find the article where that is.
The Conversation is the header.
Okay.
Oh, Breitbart.
Which they did link.
Okay.
They did link to something on that. It wasn't just Breitbart with his stuff. They were going, I think it looks at UK's Daily Mail was talking about that in that one. Not seeing the link on the other one here.
Okay.
But that's been an idea that has been brought up several times, though. And the idea that they're just not paying equal pay in the White House either. So in my mind, I think perfect opportunity for the president to say, you know what? I'm going to show you what leadership is like because we're going to do it in our own house. And here it is. And maybe that was the time to do that. He just didn't do it. And so, you know, I wonder if maybe there will be a call for that as well.
I'm going to the Daily Mail article to see what their source of data for this was.
Okay.
There's nothing in Breitbart that says where he got this stuff.
Okay. Well, we'll continue ahead with the program here. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. We are continuing ahead.
This portion of Taylor and Lawrence brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org.
You liked the sound of that, didn't you?
I just thought it would be a change.
A change, sure. See, Taylor and Lawrence is a totally different program. This one that you're a part of is Lawrence and Taylor. I just want to point that out.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll tell you what, looking at the weather forecast, it's looking better. It looks better. This should make you feel a little bit better. Okay, not that much. It's 17 degrees right now, and they're saying that the AccuWeather real feel is still below zero.
But it feels better.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
It does. When I went out earlier, it was like, well, okay, this is...
It's a balmy okay. 17.
I'm not going to go out running in this, but I can go down to Subway for lunch.
There.
You know, so
see?
That's okay. And, of course, tonight, so looking at breezy conditions, cold, low of 10. The real feel will take it down to 10 to 20 below. So basically after dark, just stay inside. It's probably the best thing for you.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to worry about frostbite. Tomorrow, oh, you'll love this. Break out the Hawaiian shirts. Roger, you got one?
Yes.
Okay, 27 degrees tomorrow.
Whew.
Okay, don't break out the shorts. I don't
know. Heat wave.
Nobody wants to see that. But you can bring out the Hawaiian shirts. So I have to, when we get to spring, we'll have to talk about the whole Hawaiian shirt concept.
Yes.
I've got a wonderful idea for that. But anyway.
Oh, okay.
That's your weather, and it's brought to you by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan. For the office nearest you, asthmaallergycenters.com. So there you go. We even have your little drum there.
Yes.
Take care of that. That was great.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. A little multi-talented.
I can play guitar. I can play drums. Is there no end to my talent?
Yeah, there's just no beginning to your talent. But anyway.
That is the problem, I'm afraid.
Of course. You know what? Before we continue in with any sort of discussion, we have, apparently Jim would like to chat with us. Jim is in Schoolcraft. Jim, glad to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jeremy.
You got snow down there?
A little bit. About 85 degrees.
The tulips are up.
Why I called, I heard, on, I don't know if it was a radio or television, about the Oakland Raiders cheerleaders. They don't even make minimum wage.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, Oakland Raiders, I mean, they make pretty good money.
Yeah, you would think so.
Football team, yeah.
Hmm.
That's pretty sad.
How do they get away without paying minimum wage?
I don't know. They didn't go into details, but they said that they was going to try to do something about it, the girls herself.
Oh, but you can...
You know, a lot of, you know, they're single mothers and stuff, you know, try to make a go of it. And it's a lot of practice and a lot of work for them. And
yeah, sounds like they need a union.
They need something.
Yeah.
I mean, those tightwads don't want to pay them any money.
They can pay the boy players millions of dollars.
There you go.
Yes, but you ladies on the side, you lady cheerleaders, not so much.
So, interesting. I thought I'd bring it to your attention.
Thanks, Jim.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Appreciate the call, Jim. Looked up a little bit. We'll have to look into the story a little bit more, but apparently CNN was reporting on a lawsuit that one of the cheerleaders was suing the Oakland Raiders over wages. So we'll have to see just exactly what's involved with that story, but apparently CNN looking into something there. We'll see.
Is Oakland in the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay, so
not even close.
Okay. They're not this isn't a current something we'll see Sunday at the Super Bowl. The Oakland cheerleaders are in their summer break, so to speak. I get it. Okay.
So, anyway, so we'll have to look through that and see just what that's all about there, see what's going on with the Raiders. My understanding of most of the cheerleading outfits that are, you know, the Raiderettes, or you've got the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, or the Lions have got a cheerleading squad, I'm assuming. I don't know their name at this point, but you probably don't know either. You're looking at it with a blank look.
Nope,
so I guess they got them.
I got no idea.
My understanding is they were all part-time type of deals that these,
but
ladies
they're still
all
covered by minimum wage.
These ladies all have other jobs. Now, I'm not saying that they aren't paid minimum wage. I don't know what they're paid.
Are they tipped?
I don't know.
And how would they collect their tips?
I guess it depends on what kind of stadiums they play at. Yeah. Roger, I don't know.
You know.
And who's in the front row with dollar bills, you know?
And where do they want to put them?
Apparently. So,
maybe that would have to do with the bra we're going to talk about here in a few minutes.
Could be. Yeah. Could be. Yeah. We'll talk about that here a little bit later. But, you know, State of the Union, a lot was brought up. I brought up one thing, and Roger, let's see if you agree with this. Yesterday we talked about the State of the Union coming up, and, of course, the president had his speech. Today we're talking about it, but it's an election year.
Mm-hmm.
Are we honestly going to see any of this stuff turn into legislation? Because he's talked about immigration reform, and he's talked about minimum wage, and he's talked about various things in there. Is any of this stuff going to show up? Because let's face it, a lot of these guys are running to keep their jobs coming up this fall.
Well, Dan Kildee, a representative from here in Michigan, said perhaps some of these things might see some action.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking maybe. I think there are some representatives who are a little embarrassed about being the most do-nothing Congress in the nation's history.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe doing something will be part of their reelection bid to say, look, we're not as worthless as you think.
There's a campaign slogan. Yes, I'm not quite as worthless
as you think. Reelect me. I'm not as I know you think I'm bad, but I'm not that bad.
You know, we joke, but there are politicians that run on something very similar to that. As bad as that guy.
Yeah.
You know.
But when you look at polling, the president has problems.
Mm-hmm.
Congress has immense problems.
They have for years, really.
It doesn't look like they're even getting their family to support Congress anymore.
Well,
and I think the American people are getting tired of it.
There's the difference, though. If you think about the way people approach congressional elections, because how many of us go, oh, Congress, they don't do anything. They do nothing. But when you break it down and say, well, what about your congressman? Well, I like him, because that's a lot of what people will do. No, he's fighting the good fight, or she's fighting the good fight, and we're going to reelect them. And that's what ends up happening a lot of the time, is the same people get elected because, hey, we like our local people, but when they get together, ain't so good.
Well, it's a combination of things, and part of it is the money that incumbents have
sure.
at their disposal that challengers don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Upton, for instance, millions of dollars in his campaign coffers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that certainly helps in getting reelected. But you're right. Many people think Congress sucks, but your member of Congress is doing an okay, the mm-hmm. best they can do
yeah.
in that bad circumstance.
Certainly.
And
now, I think, you know, senators are a different thing, and races like that tend to be, unless it's somebody running in an extremely red or blue state and they are from that party and they get reelected again and again. But I think you're seeing a lot of competitive Senate races in various states. You're seeing one here in Michigan, certainly. State of Louisiana is having one that's pretty competitive. And there's several around the country that are looking pretty darn competitive, too. So, you know, I think it's a little different when you compare Senate versus House. But by and large, people look at their congressman and say, yeah, I like our guy, but I don't like the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. And so getting back to your original question,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking there may be some Congress people who want to appear to be able to accomplish things
mm-hmm.
just prior to an election. And normally I would say it being an election year would be a roadblock to action. I'm thinking this year it may be the reverse. And it's the fact that they're going to have to face voters in November that may make some Congress people want to actually do something.
Mm. One thing
I'm hoping.
One thing that I, you know, and the whole discussion about minimum wage, and we had a big discussion about it yesterday here on the program. But one thing, it was brought up. We knew the president was going to mention it. You know, he talked about $9 last year. Apparently, what a difference a year makes, because now it's up to what is it, $10.10 that he'd like to see. But here's the thing that I wish somebody would bring up and say, you know what, we keep looking at this minimum wage thing. What we need to do is just pass one bill right now that says we're going to make minimum wage so much, and then from that point, it goes up with inflation, and we're done looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to look at it again. And, you know, it was one thing that he brought up. He talked about what the minimum wage is worth, says it's worth about 20% less than when Ronald Reagan was first sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, Tom Harkin and George Miller have a bill to fix that by lifting the minimum wage to $10.10. Honestly, I don't think setting the fixed rate without that other half solves the problem. I think it does the usual congressional game of let's kick the can down the road so that somebody else can argue about it. Honestly, if these guys are going to get something done, let's get something done, not incomplete, so we can come back later.
Well, part of it is they want to, both sides want to have something to beat the other side about the head and shoulders with.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Republicans, why they would be opposed to that, is they want to have a negotiation next year about raising the minimum wage again and to see what kind of things they can extract from the Democrats to get that. And they want to have negotiating positions. And I use the conservative side, but the Democrats mm-hmm. do exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They both want to have something they can negotiate with down the road. And they don't like fixing things once and for all because there's no opportunity to try to extract concessions from your opponents next year if you do that.
Well, and I think there's another part of the issue as well, and a former radio talk show host brought up this, and I thought it was a great idea. Just the simple idea that if you look around Congress 40, 50 years ago, how many moderates were there? How many were in between the extremes of the parties to be able to say, all right, guys, let's sit down and work on this.
Mm-hmm.
And now you look for moderates in Congress, either party. You might be able to fit them in a phone booth
mm-hmm.
if you can find one. But, you know, and I think maybe there's something to that, that there's not the moderates in the middle saying, all right, come on, Tea Party guys, come on, Bernie Sanders, independent liberal guy, let's all get together and come up with our ideas together and come a little bit, you know, you're not going to get everything you want. You're not going to get everything you want, but we're going to work together and come up with something that at least addresses the problem. Mm-hmm. You don't see it. And I think that might be some of the reason why.
Well, and some of it has to do with the gerrymandered districts, mm-hmm. where the districts themselves are no longer competitive. They were, by their very design, meant to favor one political party or another. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have to compete for the people in the middle. And it makes the primary the election. Mm-hmm. Because if it's a guaranteed Democratic district or a guaranteed Republican district, you're not going to it isn't the election where the decision is made. It's mm-hmm. in the primary. And I think that's why we end up in some cases with representatives that don't really represent their districts anymore. They represented who turned out and voted in the primary.
Yeah, you're starting to describe why a lot of people decide, you know what, I don't think I'll vote this year.
Yeah.
We'll continue ahead. You know what, we've got a very hard-hitting topic. That's it'll just hit you right here.
I'm trying to get my arms around this one.
We'll have that as we continue ahead. A little something that, I think it's for everybody. Might very well be.
It's for me.
Lawrence and Taylor. See, I said it right. Lawrence and Taylor. We have to go through this, apparently.
And I thought that would slip by unnoticed.
Oh, come on. You're trying to do that when the boss is in the room. It just doesn't matter. I'll tell you what, we were going to have a fun little discussion just now, and we still will.
Yeah, but Joe, you got to be quick.
You know what? Joe decided to call in, but you know what? We do like Joe. So, Joe, why don't you just go ahead and share your thoughts here before we continue. Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hey.
There you are. Hi, Joe.
You know, everybody keeps talking about the minimum wage mm-hmm. and raises and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, your boss offers you a 3% raise. And it's not even enough to keep up with inflation.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Back in the 70s, I remember my dad and my granddad's, you know, they got a cost of living in wage, and then they also got a raise.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they don't even give us a raise. Yeah. Nowadays, what we get is just a cost of living increase. So we're basically making the same wage we were making last year.
Mm-hmm. But some people don't even get that.
Yeah.
I know.
So... All right.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe, appreciate it.
No, good day, gentlemen.
Okay.
He called us gentlemen.
Gentlemen. Gosh, yeah. What is he thinking?
Suck up.
What does he know? Okay. Well, we move on to something that is one of those hard-hitting topics that it doesn't matter what party you espouse, what side of the political aisle you're on, you've got to agree with this, that we want to make women more comfortable.
You talk about mood rings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this takes it to a whole new playing field.
This is, I guess you could call it a mood bra.
Yes.
I suppose. But, Japanese lingerie company. What is it? Ravi Jour, which kind of sounds French.
Oui.
So it's Japanese, though. Uh-huh. But they came up with the True Love Tester Bra.
And how does said bra measure love?
Apparently, the only time the bra can come undone is when sensors embedded inside it sense a particular heart rate. And they've actually associated a certain heart rate with love.
Ah.
So, and they've actually, this has to hook up with a smartphone app as well. Because everything's got an app now for some reason.
Well, yes.
But this bra hooks up with an app you got on your smartphone, and they know the difference between jogging, shopping, eating something spicy, always important to differentiate,
yeah,
and love. And the way, and this is Discovery.com is reporting on this, and they say that it will open up with love. And they say, what better way to acknowledge being in love than having your glittery bra fly open?
And in the article, it refers to it opening in a dramatic way.
Apparently.
Yes.
So, you know, it's kind of like,
ta-da!
So, yeah, they've now, you know, and it's funny because...
Does it happen just walking down the street?
Yeah, and you got to wonder.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that would give whole new meaning to the idea of love at first sight.
Yes. Ooh, I like you. I could tell.
Boing! So, yeah, it's, I don't know of too many women that would go for that kind of thing. Something tells me.
Well, but, what is a woman who has just come home from a 12-hour day at work? Her boss is a jerk. She's mm-hmm. worked her butt off that day. She's exhausted, and she can't get her bra off.
I guess you're kind of stuck with it. You know, it's
no pun intended.
But it's funny because, you know, you think about, you know, years past in medieval times, they had the chastity belt.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the chastity bra a little bit, you know.
It's, yeah. Well, you know, that's the next step. And there'll be a wireless internet connection between.
Yeah, there you go.
The panties that pop open and the bra that pops open.
Yeah, there's a good idea. So, oh, gosh.
Maybe that's where our product could come to market. Everything that you've said, everything has an internet connection.
Apparently,
yes.
Yeah. You know, I guess the other part of this is being that this has a smartphone app, and smartphones are generally hooked up online and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Could the bra be hacked in some way? That's the other question here that I think they've not addressed effectively because, you know, there needs to be some security for your underwear, apparently.
Well, yes. You don't want – well, it would be interesting to be able to, in the convenience of your home, set it off. Hi, honey.
Would you stop that? You could just picture – maybe the smartphone app just has the open button or something.
Yep.
You know, so that way when it's time to get changed, you can hit the button and there you go. I don't know.
And you could try to pick awkward times for the exploding bra.
You know, but I brought this up. I saw the story yesterday, and I saved it for you today, Roger. I didn't want to mention it yesterday.
You're a good man, Jeremy.
Because I thought, you know, Roger needs to hear about
this.
Yeah,
we could share this.
But we talked about this at home a little bit because I went and told my wife about this, and she says, okay, it's based on heart rate. Let's uh-huh. just say that you're running away from someone who's got a knife.
And you're
and they're
really
coming
excited.
After you. I mean, that's a pretty intense moment. You know, there's going to be some natural, quote-unquote, excitement there.
And won't your bra popping off at that point distract your assailant?
You know, is that something you want, or is that something you don't want in that situation?
Assailant injured by exploding bra.
Well, whatever happens, I tell you what, we're going to keep you abreast of the situation so you know exactly what happens with this bra. Personally, I don't think it gets anywhere.
Yeah. But, I'm taking a hands-off position on this.
Good idea. We'll get together again tomorrow, talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Be sure you're with us.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.